This Bible talk, titled I Am the Resurrection and the Life, is on John chapter 11. It's a talk from our series on the I Am sayings of Jesus in John's Gospel, and it was recorded at Robina on Sunday the 26th of September 2021.
Well, friends, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Meet Ed. Ed's a good mate of mine. Here we are on his wedding day about 14 years ago. You can tell it's about 14 years ago because my hair hadn't yet moved from the top of my head to my bottom of my face. I was a groomsman at his wedding a few years before he'd been a groomsman at mine. He's a good friend, Ed, but Ed has one flaw. Ed is late. Ed is incredibly late, chronically late, always late. Growing up together, he was late to everything, and in a time before mobile phones, that meant that we were always waiting for him. We'd make plans. He wouldn't show up on time, and we'd wait. One time, he was so late to a movie that he arrived as we were leaving the cinemas having watched the movie. He was 2 hours late to something that goes for 2 hours. Now, Ed is incredibly late, but once, Jesus was too. See, in John 11, the stakes could not have been higher. Jesus' friend Lazarus was sick, and Jesus was late. So late that by the time he had arrived on the scene, Lazarus was dead. Now that's just not being late for a movie, that's being late to a life. But more than that, as events unfold in this chapter, we'll see that Jesus was more than just incredibly late. We're going to see that Jesus was deliberately late. See, Jesus wanted his disciples to see and understand his power, not just his power to heal, but his power to conquer life itself. That's resurrection power. And Jesus wants us to see that for ourselves this morning. So follow along with me. Let's pick it up together in John chapter 11, starting at verse 1. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who had anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So friends, just outside Jerusalem is the village of Bethany, and it was there that Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus lived. Now, we don't know the connection that they had with Jesus, but they were clearly very friendly with him. Some people speculate on the connection. Perhaps Jesus stayed with them each time that he went to visit Jerusalem over the years. Perhaps they were known to his family, but we just don't know. The sisters have sent word to Jesus. Lazarus is ill. He doesn't just have a sniffle, he is gravely ill. He's at the point of death. Now, the sisters know Jesus' power to heal, and so it's not an unusual request. One of his friends is dying, and Jesus has the power to stop that from unfolding. And yet, as we can see in verse 4, Jesus has something else in mind. Glory. This situation isn't going to end, it's not going to terminate in death, but it's going to end in glory with the glorification of Jesus. Somehow in the events that are going to follow, Jesus will be honoured, Jesus will be seen for who he really is. Jesus is going to be seen to be the Son of God. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Now that should sound a little bit weird to our ears, yeah? It doesn't say, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he rushed to his bedside. That's what we'd expect. Friendship and love says that Jesus ought to get moving. But bigger things are at play here. Jesus is planning on being deliberately late because these events are going to end in glory. This isn't just going to be another typical healing story that we read in the Gospels. We're supposed to enter John 11 anticipating something that is bigger and better and more jaw-dropping and revealing. And so Jesus waits 2 days. Verse 11. After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go to awaken him." The disciples said, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So 2 days have passed, and still up in the northern region of Israel, seemingly out of the blue, Jesus declares to his disciples that Lazarus is now asleep. And as per usual, the disciples are pretty stupid. They fail to get what he's really saying, and so he tells them plainly, he's dead. But more than that, Jesus points to how he'll be glorified in this whole saga. Do you notice that, verse 15? He tells them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe." See, the disciples do not yet believe. And Jesus is glad. He's not glad that Lazarus is dead, but he's glad that these events may result in belief. Belief's a really big theme in John's Gospel. It's one of the main reasons that John has penned this account. John's Gospel is so much more than just a simple biography of Jesus' life. It's an account of Jesus' life, but it has a purpose. And John actually explicitly tells us what that is in the final chapter of his book. I'll see on the screen behind me, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, where John writes at the end of his book, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." See, John has written so that we may believe. But it's not just a belief in the existence of Jesus. He wants us to see and understand and trust that Jesus is the Christ, God's anointed King, that Jesus is the Son of God sent from the Father to die and rise again. John wants us to have the kind of belief that results in life. That's why Jesus delayed. That's why he chose to be deliberately late. Not out of a callous disregard for the wishes of the family, but things are happening, and things are much more than they seem. Glory, belief, life itself. Verse 20. "So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.' Jesus says to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha says to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.'" So Jesus finally arrives on the scene, and it's a scene of grief and despair. It's kind of a shame that we don't have a recording of what Martha says in verse 21. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." It's kind of hard to pick what her tone would have been. I suspect it's a mix of anger and disappointment and accusation and hurt. It's really it's grief. She's speaking out of her grief, and I'm sure it would have been raw. Whatever her tone was, Jesus gives her resurrection hope. He's going to rise again. And Martha responds in agreement. She knows that he will rise on the last day because Martha is a good Jew. She's picked up on some of the hints that we see in the Old Testament, hints of resurrection that is to come. Here is two examples. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Again, it's on the screen behind me. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Or Isaiah 26, verse 19. Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy, for your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. But what Jesus says next ought to blow us away. John 11, 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Isn't that a stunning thing for Jesus to say? I am the resurrection and the life. Of all of the I am statements of John in John's gospel that Jesus says, is this the most stunning? I think it might be. Jesus himself is life, resurrection life, power over death life. And notice again that the connection between belief and life, this isn't just, you know, intellectual assent. This isn't just a belief in existence. Do you believe? Jesus asked Martha. And for the first time in John's gospel, we have this kind of belief articulated. But it's not by the disciples. This grieving woman is the first to declare, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. And with that declaration, everything changes for Martha. But friends, before we get there and think about what changes for Martha, it's worth pausing and asking, friends, do you believe? Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in him shall never die. Do you believe this? So, do you believe this? Do you trust Jesus? Death is coming for us all. Death hangs over us all like a shadow that we just can't shake. Just this week, we will bury a member of our Mudjerabar congregation. Some of us are close to death. Old age, perhaps a terminal illness. Some of us may look closer to death than others, but that's not always the case, is it? We're all terminal. And to make matters worse, we now live under the spectre of an unseen virus that in all likelihood will jump a border that's made of orange plastic, and soon people will die. Death is coming for us all. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe? Do you believe? Verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. See, Jesus is not without compassion. He's deeply moved. He's kind of agitated. He feels this grief too. Although he knows what's coming, that doesn't take away from what he feels. Verse 39, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odour, for he has been dead 4 days." See, friends, Lazarus is well and truly dead. What's going to happen here is no resuscitation. This will be a resurrection. His body is already breaking down. That's why there will be an odour. According to the old King James Version, Lazarus, well, he stinketh. But Jesus is much more interested in glory than in a smell. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stone. See, friends, can you see how these are all connected? Glory and belief and life. Jesus was deliberately late so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Jesus said to the disciples plainly, "Lazarus has not died. For your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe." And Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Glory and belief and life all mixed in together here. They all go hand in hand for Jesus. Because friends, this is no ordinary miracle. This isn't just a healing that's turned up to 11. Jesus is about to reverse death itself. He's about to call a man out of a grave. And as he does so, he will be glorified. He will demonstrate his power over death. He'll show us that death is not the end. He's going to give us a glimpse of resurrection life. And again, he will ask us, "Do you believe?" Verse 41. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." And we are left with so many questions, aren't we? I think if the media were there, they would thrust a camera in Lazarus's face and pepper him with questions. What was it like? Where did you go? How do you feel? But we don't get any of those questions, and we get none of the answers, because that's not the point. Friends, Jesus has just conquered death. See, even though we try to hide it and minimize it, death is everywhere. We're all touched by it. Like I said, we live in its shadow. We might deny and obfuscate, but death comes for us all. Funerals are perhaps the one time that we might let our guard down and acknowledge death. But even then, at the time in which we are most confronted by our own mortality, there's that temptation in us all to turn those funerals into a celebration of life, in some kind of vain attempt to hide our grief and pain and discomfort, and perhaps, when we're honest with ourselves, our fear of death. We might rebuke those who we think have an unhealthy obsession with death. Some in our society will swing to the other extreme, and in just a few weeks' time will muck around on Halloween, playing with an almost cartoonish disregard for life and death. But friends, whatever poles we are at, both sides fall apart in Jesus. Jesus has just conquered death. And in a foretaste of his own resurrection, he has pulled a man back from death to life again. But friends, our resurrection hope is not just a hope that Jesus will bring us back from death to life again. Because Lazarus, the man resurrected, well, he still went on to die. See, the hope that we have in Jesus is the hope that relies on that trust, one that believes in Jesus' resurrection. And in Jesus' resurrection, it's not just a case of a man who died and came back to life. No, Jesus died and went through death into resurrection life. And he promises to take us with him. Death is coming for us all, friends. But for those of us who believe in Jesus, there is life beyond the grave. Death does not have the final word. Death is not the end. Life eternal waits. Though he die, yet shall he live. And friends, is there no greater gift? A gift of God so undeserved, so unmerited, so unearned. Soon in John's Gospel, Jesus will return, not to Bethany, but 2 miles away to the city of Jerusalem. And in a large part, because of this resurrection of Lazarus, he'll be killed. Just flick your eyes down to verse 53 and listen to what happened when the religious leaders caught wind of what had happened to Lazarus. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. Fearful of what had happened to Lazarus at Bethany, the religious leaders opted not to believe, but to kill. And as he hung on that cross, God's anointed king, the Christ, gave up his life to death. But death was not the end, because Jesus is the resurrection, Jesus is the life, and death couldn't kill life. And so Jesus holds out to us this morning, "I am the resurrection and the life," he says. "Do you believe?" This morning I want to close our time in this passage by leading us in a really simple prayer. It's a prayer that we can use to express our belief in Jesus. Perhaps for some of us here this morning, it may be the first time that you've expressed your belief, your trust of Jesus like this. It's a simple prayer with 3 phrases: sorry, thank you, and please. I'm going to read that prayer now so that you can hear what I'm going to pray in a few minutes' time and you can understand what you're praying. Have a listen to these words that we're going to pray together. Dear God, sorry that I've ignored you and lived my life my own way. Thank you for sending Jesus, the one who laid down his life for me. Thank you that death is not the end, but that Jesus conquered death and is the resurrection and the life. Thank you that we no longer have to fear death and that we have the hope of eternal life with you. Please help me to believe, to trust Jesus with my life and to live with him as my King. It's a very simple prayer: sorry, thank you, and please. But it articulates the right response to Jesus, the right response to the one who is the resurrection and the life. I'm going to pray those words that I just read out. If you'd like to pray along with me, just pray silently as I go. I'll pause along the way. But let's pray together now to our great God. Dear God, sorry that I've ignored you and lived my life my own way. Thank you for sending Jesus, who laid down his life for me. Thank you that death is not the end, but that Jesus conquered death and is the resurrection and the life. Thank you that we no longer have to fear death and that we have the hope of eternal life with you. Please help me to believe, to trust Jesus with my life, and to live with him as my King. Amen. Friends, Jesus said that I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die.